Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 9th of August. It's a Sunday, and we have up on our platforms paulwhiteministries.com, PWM at YouTube, Podbean, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to our full-length sermon today, The Love of a Good Neighbor. And you can also listen to back episodes. We've got the entire series from the book of John. We're over 100 lessons in. Jump in wherever you'd like. And, of course, the DDP that you're listening to now airs on all kinds of platforms as well. I encourage you on these Sundays to go maximize your intake. And not just from this ministry. There's so many fantastic ministries out there spreading the good news of Jesus, giving you fresh bread. And I just thank God that we live in this hour. There's so many. I haven't traveled a lot lately, so I've been able to catch some of my friends and their live services on Sunday mornings on Facebook or wherever. And it's just so awesome to watch what so many men and women are doing to present the good news of Jesus Christ. It blesses my heart. I was thinking today that we would try to put a cap on the story of Hophni and Phinehas. Yesterday, we dealt with these two priests who were not in favor, and they were pitiful and wicked, and they were stealing the sacrifice off the altar before it was finished. It's a way of presenting an unfinished gospel. I would call that mixture. Or you could even say, based upon the meanings of their Hebrew names, pugilist and mouth of brass, they are fighters, they are violent, and that's the presentation that they have. And that causes people to turn away. And we dealt with that yesterday. I think we dealt with it fairly completely. But then I got to thinking, well, shouldn't we tell the end of their story? Because there's also something there that's a great new covenant application. So I want to do that today. And the end of their story is kind of twofold. First of all, in the second chapter, God speaks a prophecy to Eli and tells him, in verse 34, "This shall be a sign to you that will become upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." Then two chapters later, in chapter 4, verse 11, the ark of God was captured and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. And that's it. That's their story. They leave the scene. We don't hear them referenced again. But for this brief moment here in about a four-chapter period, they're a very important moment in the transition of Israel. Because they mark the end. Eli dies next. He's the high priest. But they mark the end of the priesthood as it had been between Moses and what ultimately would be King Saul. The priest had been this liaison character between Israel and God. And now they have been so perverted. So not only were Hophni and Phinehas fighters, and had mouths of brass, but they were sleeping with women outside the tabernacle of meeting, according to chapter 2. So they had taken their perverseness beyond just being aggressive on the altar. They were now lewd to the point that they were doing such damage to the message, to the ministry of God, that they needed to be removed, and God protects his own. And so Hophni and Phinehas will die. Their father Eli will die as well. Samuel then takes over in sort of a mixed capacity, sort of a priest judge, though he's never officially a priest. He becomes the representation of Israel to God. And then it's Samuel who anoints Saul, Samuel who anoints David, and then the monarchical line of the kingship through the sons begins, as David then, of course, has Solomon and on down the line. There's a prophecy that comes in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. After the death of Hophni and Phinehas, the scripture says this, "Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." And we don't see this happen right away. Hophni and Phinehas die in chapter 4. That's two chapters later. Then Eli dies. Then Samuel takes over. And we do not see God raise up for himself a faithful priest. If you look at your center column reference in most of your Bibles, they will send you to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 35, where the king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in the place over the army. And then the king put Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. And that is referenced most of the time as the moment when God brought his priesthood back. That had been quite a gap, because we're talking about after the death of Joab, which was David's right-hand man. So you're talking about, you know, a couple generations of no real priesthood. But I don't think your center column reference Bibles are doing justice here. Because when God promises to raise up a faithful priest that will do what's in his heart and his mind and build him a sure house so that he walks before the anointed forever, I think that's a reference to Jesus. You have to get out of the Phinehas and Hophni attitude to get into the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So I think the prophecy extends way beyond a generation after Hophni and Phinehas and goes all the way up to Christ. And the reason is the terminology is so Jesus-like. It's not any other priest. It's a priest that does what's in the heart and the mind of God. Jesus' own admission is, I don't do anything of my own accord. I do what I see my Father do, and I say what I hear my Father say. And then a sure house is a house built on the rock, not a house built on sand. And walking before the Lord's anointed forever, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who was, he who is, he who ever shall be. So a new covenant principle in an Old Testament story is this. God removes the violent, unfinished work and replaces it with a faithful, anointed priest who knows the heart of God. Jesus comes along and shares with mankind the heart of his Father. And it doesn't look like all of the other things have looked. It's unique and it's different. Jesus presents the Father in a way that the disciples had never seen and that the disciples had never imagined. And that's why I think there's a beautiful capstone to this Hophni and Phinehas story that is found in the everlasting priesthood of Jesus, he who ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. That, to me, is an awesome way to cap off what is a rather sad and violent story. We show you another Old Testament story with a new covenant principle tomorrow on the podcast. I'll see you then. Have a great Lord's Day. God bless.